All right, it's good to see you. Today is Sunday, October the 23rd. Can you believe we've only got one more week in the month of October? And then it's just 2 months till the end of the year. And I appreciate you getting to be here today. We are in the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, we are in our third lesson today in this series of lessons entitled, Our God Reigns. And this is a tremendous series of lessons. And I hope that the lesson today will be a help to you. We're going to be in chapter 2. Last week, we talked about Daniel and his decision to stand for Christ and for the Lord and interpret the king's dream. And that demanding despot, man, he wanted that dream interpreted. He wanted it revealed, or he was going to kill everybody that was involved with it that couldn't do what he asked him to do. And God blessed Daniel and gave him wisdom. But today we're going to look at this thing, and we're going to look in that same chapter. We're going to be looking at verses 31 through 35 today. 31 through 45. And the lesson title is entitled The Multiple Metal Image. The Multiple Metal Image. Now, this thing only God could do. What God did here in this lesson today. And we're going to see that. And I want you to think, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And thank God we do. Amen. Man, I thank God that we're able to know the Savior. He has got everything in control. The world thinks, boy, they got the tiger by the tail, don't they? But they don't know anything. They can't figure it out. Bless their heart. They don't even know the questions. But you know, in our lesson today, I want you to see some things, how that God does the miraculous. And he uses those who make themselves available unto him. When you make yourself available to God, God will use you in a great and mighty way. And last week we saw in our lesson how that God gave wisdom and understanding to Daniel so that he might know and understand and properly interpret the dream that has escaped the memory of King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember he was all upset because he had dreamed a dream and he couldn't remember what it was. He trusted in the wise men of his court who could not tell him the dream, let alone interpret it. And this week we saw, or last week we saw, how that God used Daniel to interpret that dream. And God gave that wisdom and understanding to Daniel, and Daniel exalted the Lord. You know, it would have been easy for Daniel to take all the credit and to say, boy, look what I've done. I'm going to be in good, you know, sight with the king. But Daniel pointed the king to the Lord God who had shown him what was going to come to pass through this dream. Now, I want you to look with me today at Daniel chapter 2, verses 27 through 30. I want you to look at this with me. The Bible said that Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven." And folks, I want you to remember that today. When everything gets kind of tough for you, I want you to remember there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. He knows everything. And he maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed what should come to pass hereafter. And you know what? That's something that everybody at some point in time considers. What's going to happen to me when I die? What's the future hold for me? Where am I going to go when I die? And you know what? A lot of people think about that, but they don't know what the answer is. God revealed to this king several things. He revealed secrets. Made known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this is Daniel. He says, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living. but for their sakes, for those wise men, for those astrologers, those magicians, those soothsayers, so that they would know the one true God, and so that the king would know the one true God. He said, all these things have been revealed for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Daniel glorified God, but he desired to do what God wanted them to do, and that was to let those people know that there is a God in heaven that knows all things. And you and I get discouraged sometimes because we think, well, boy, Lord, you just don't know what I'm going through. Yes, he does. He knows what you're going through, and he knows what the future holds for you. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to learn to trust and obey him. Amen. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then if you'll look at last week, we saw this. After hearing Daniel's explanation of things, the Bible said there in Daniel chapter 2, verses 46 through 49, then King Nebuchadnezzar, now imagine this. This is that authoritative dictator-type king that was ready to cut all the heads off of all of his people because they couldn't do what he wanted them to do. This king fell upon his face, and he worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should bring an offering of oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man, and gave him many gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Can you imagine the faces of all those liberal wise men, okay? When they saw the king bow himself before this man Daniel. Now, we know that he shouldn't have worshipped Daniel. Daniel knew that, and he didn't accept that worship. But this king had never met a man like Daniel. And you know what? The world needs to meet some Christians that they could see the difference in them. And that's you and me. They need to know that we know the God that revealeth secrets. They need to know and to see God in our lives. And I can't imagine their faces, those astrologers, those magicians, when they saw that king bow before Daniel. It kind of made me wonder. I wonder if they bowed before him as well. I bet they did. And boy, I bet they were hot about that. Here is a Hebrew that was taken captive, one of the people of the chosen people of God that was a captive, and now everybody, including the king, is having to bow down to that man. Boy, I bet their faces were pale, don't you? But this king wanted everybody in his court to know that the God of Israel was the true and living God. And boy, what an exposure that must have been. You know, our God reigns today, folks. Our God reigns, and he is sovereign. He knows all. He's in control. So I want you to look at this lesson today, and I want you to see a couple things. Number one, I want you to see the recital of the dream. Now, Daniel goes back here, and we're going to go back. I want you to see how he describes the dream that the king dreamed. He gives a description here of the image. The Bible said here in Daniel chapter 2, beginning in verse 31, the Bible said that Daniel stood boldly and he proclaimed unto this king. He said, thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. And this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee. And the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Now I want you to look at this, how Daniel describes this image that the king saw in his dream. It was an image whose brightness was excellent. I mean, it was just extraordinarily bright, probably shone in the sun, that bright, beautiful gold head, the silver breast and arms, and going all the way down the body of it. It stood before the king, and whose form was terrible. It meant that it was huge. It was imposing in front of that king. It was a fearful thing for that king to see and behold in his dream, because it made him feel small in front of that king, in front of that image. The sudden appearance alone of such that thing could not but do anything but fill the king's mind with fear and wonder what it was all about. And it was no wonder that this king had fear from this dream. It was no wonder that he couldn't sleep at night trying to figure out what in the world is happening before me. And look at it. Its head was of fine gold, beautifully golden, glistening in the sun. Its breast and arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, and its feet were part iron and part clay. Now I want you to take note here that going downward from head to foot, the materials which this thing were made of, they decreased in value, okay? But as they went down that image, they actually got harder in substance. Now, I want you to look at this lesson today, okay? And I want you to consider, I want you to notice here the various parts of this body, they decrease in importance from the head to the foot. They decrease in importance. A man can live without a foot. A man can live without a leg. He can live without his arm. He can have surgery on his belly or his chest or whatever, but you can't live very long without your head, okay? All right? You can't live very long without that. And boy, it just decreased in importance as you went down from the head. And this great image and its description must have brought great fear into the heart of this king. But I want you to look at Daniel's description of this thing. I want you to see how Daniel described it. And then he described the destruction of this image. Now, imagine this great big huge image standing before you, and then all of a sudden it's wiped out in front of you. It's totally demolished. It's totally done away with. And I want you to look at what he said. Look at verses 34 and 35. Daniel knelt, now he tells the king, he said, "Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Now, I can't imagine, let alone dreaming the dream, but then coming back and trying to interpret that. Man does not have the wisdom or the knowledge to be able to do something like that. Man couldn't do that, but God could. And God was trying to let this king know something. And God revealed to Daniel. And now Daniel reveals it unto the king, how this image would be utterly destroyed by an unseen and a totally divine act of the one true and living God. God was in control. This king thought he was a god. This king thought he was in charge of everything. You know what? There are many men in our land like that today. Boy, they think they are it. But you know what? They need to recognize the fact that there is a God that's way above them. Amen. There is a God that revealeth secrets and knows all things. And the Bible said here that there was a stone that was cut out without hands. And that stone came and destroyed, wiped out, demolished this whole entire image. This great image was taken down by God from its very foundation. Now I want you to look at it. Look at what it said. "Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away that no place was found for them. This great image that had brought fear and terror to the heart of this king now lay broken in pieces before him. And as the wind came through, all those pieces just blew away like the chaff that the wind drives away on the threshing floor. This once so great image now had completely been destroyed and broken to pieces together. They all went down together. Now, I want you to think about this just a minute. There was nothing left of this image. At the end of his dream, there was nothing left. Now imagine it. At the beginning of the dream, this great image rises before him, terrifying his heart. He's wondering what it can mean, and then all of a sudden, a rock, a stone comes out of nowhere, not cut with hands, and demolishes this whole image. What in the world does this mean? What in the world could I be trying to be told by the gods is what he's thinking about. Well, you know, the fact is that supernatural stone not cut with hands, that stone that came down and destroyed this once so great image, look what the Bible said. It became a gray mountain and it filled the whole earth. And I want you to know this here too, that this stone didn't simply co-mingle with that image, amen? I see all these tags and things on the back of cars that says coexist, and they spell it out with all these religious insignias and all this stuff. Listen, that stone didn't come to coexist, okay? Our Savior does not just coexist. He is the ever-existing one. And you know what? Before all these other man-made pagan idol-worshiping things were ever created or thought of, our God was King of kings and Lord of lords. He's in charge of everything. He's our great rock of salvation. And the Bible said that that stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. No wonder our lesson series is entitled, Our God Reigns. Amen? Our God reigns. And that stone, not cut with hands, became a great mountain and literally uprooted. It literally eradicated that image that so terrified the king. You know, I got to thinking about some verses in the Old Testament scripture. And I went back this week as I was studying on the lesson. I found the verse in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Most of us think about this at Christmas time. But listen to what it said. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of his increase, of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Boy, that is exactly what that king saw in that great stone, not cut with hands, destroying that great image. That's what he saw. Deuteronomy said this. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, I love the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verses 1 through 4. The Bible said, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. That describes our great God today. And that great stone that fell and just destroyed this idol, it became a great mountain. And one day would do away with all the earthly kingdoms that we're going to look at in this lesson today. And it's going to stand alone as the sovereign kingdom for all to see. And we'll see later on in verse 44, as you look down at that, the Bible said, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Boy, what a day that's going to be. Amen. What a day it's going to be. And look at what it said in verse 44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never, never, never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. This was the recital of the dream that the king had that Daniel gave unto him. But now look at this in verse 36, beginning of verse 36. He gives the revelation of that dream. He tells what it meant. And I want you to see this today. Back in the latter part of Daniel chapter 2, verse 9, the king had already stated to his wise men. Now, he had already told them this. He said, therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. And now, those wise men were not able to do that. But Daniel, the man of God, was able to do it. The man that God had blessed and chosen because of his faithfulness. And because of this, the king knew that he could believe what Daniel was telling him. He knew that he could trust Daniel to tell him the truth. I'm going to tell you, boy, this would have been a difficult thing to stand before an opposing person and tell them what's going to happen to them. And boy, fear would have gripped my heart for sure. I'm sure it gripped Daniel's heart. But Daniel stood boldly in the power of God. And then he reveals to them about the kingdoms of this earth. The earthly kingdoms. Those kingdoms that come and those kingdoms that go. Look at it with me. Verses 36 through 43. Daniel reveals the king's dream. And he says, this is the dream. And we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings. For the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Now, boy, I bet when the king heard that, he's standing there thinking, man, that's me. I'm the head of gold. I'm the top boy. You know, I'm the big man. But listen to what Daniel did. He said, and after thee. What was Daniel telling him? He said, your day is coming to an end. You know what? Each of us must one day die. So many folks today don't think about that. They think they're going to live on this earth forever. They think, number one, they're God's gift to this human race. And then they think they're going to live forever and do exactly whatever they want to do. And Daniel looked at him and he said, you may be the head, but after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee. In other words, somebody that's not as powerful as you are is going to still destroy you. Now think about that. Boy, can you imagine the fear that must have come in the king's mind? Well, when is this going to be? What's going to happen? How is it going to take place? He didn't know. But after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. But there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom should be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Boy, that was a strange thing to tell him. Now, I want you to see here in verses 36 through 38, he explains to the king how it is God and God alone, who had given him and blessed him with this great kingdom of power and strength and glory. Folks, listen to me today. God it is who sets up kings and kingdoms, and he taketh them away as well. Amen. He taketh them away. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the fields and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, Daniel told him, and hath made thee ruler over them all. And then Daniel tells him, he says, thou art this head of gold, to which history itself attests. You can go back and look through history. It was just incredible, the things you could read about the kingdom of Babylon that's on the internet. And all these things that they found, but you know what? They're rubble. They're dirt. They're broken stones and rocks today. And the Bible said here that this king who ruled the Babylonian Empire for some 43 years, I believe it said, he was defeated by the next great ruler, who was Belshazzar. You remember him? Belshazzar. And we can read about that. We're going to read about it later in Daniel chapter 5. But he is represented in this image by the silver breast and the arms that we're going to look at in verse 32 and 39 here in our lesson. The Bible said his breast and his arms of silver. And after these shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, which was, in our modern day history, the Medo-Persian Empire. They came and they defeated the Babylonian Empire. They defeated King Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Now that Medo-Persian Empire would defeat them, and they would do away with that Babylonian Empire, but they would be far less superior than what Nebuchadnezzar had accomplished in his life. Far less. And I can only imagine, upon hearing by this, you know, king, and he's thinking about what's going to happen, it must have shocked him. It must have humbled him to think, I'm going down. I'm not going to be the great king for all the years to come. Somebody inferior to me is going to defeat me. And boy, God humbled his heart. And he showed him that he was still just a man. But then Daniel went on to reveal how that not long after his defeat and takeover by the Medo-Persian Empire, that they too would be defeated by another great earthly kingdom known as the Grecian Empire. And who is that led by? Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great was a man who, he was known throughout the history times of being a great warrior, a great leader. But then he too, it was revealed by Daniel, would be taken down. He would be considered to be that third kingdom, okay? The kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. But that third kingdom would also fall to a fourth kingdom. In verse 33, it says, as the legs of iron. And here now in verse 40, Daniel said, the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it be broken in pieces and bruised. This legs of iron kingdom, they would be known as what? The Roman Empire. The Roman Empire that would come and take over the Grecian Empire. And the Roman Empire would rule for, I think, 600 and some odd years, 650 years, I believe it was, as I read this past week. They would rule for many, many years. More years than all the other kingdoms had reigned. But this Roman Empire would come in, and as iron, it said, breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise. Now, I want you to remember something today. We're talking about in the days of Daniel. Daniel is making this interpretation to the king. But it is this fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire, that was in rule when God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It was during that time that God sent the Savior into the world. It was during that time of iron ruling. Boy, they were wicked men. And they ruled with a rod of iron. But it was during that time that God sent the Savior into the world. And it was during this fourth kingdom that the Roman Empire, which would play a major part in the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior upon the cross of Calvary, its two legs of iron representing the Eastern and the Western civilizations, all right, it would be divided. And look at verses 41 and 42. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. You see, God knew what was going to happen long before it ever came to pass. And God knows what's going to happen in your life and in mine. He allows things to come into our lives that are going to mold us, shape us, and build us for his honor and for his glory. And that's what he was doing through these earthly kingdoms. And now, in verses 40 and 41, we see how that there's going to come yet even more divisions within this fourth kingdom, which will reach into the days following our Lord's rapturing out of the church. And all of these things are going to extend into that great trial and tribulation that's going to fall upon the earth. And I want you to look here. Even as with the Roman Empire, that empire stood, it stood strong. It stood powerful. No one resisted the Roman Empire. Nobody came back and said, we're going to rule over ourselves. No, Rome had iron rule. But I want you to understand something. It was through their wicked sin, their debauchery, their compromise that later would expose the iron mixed with the miry clay. And the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so that the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. If you'll remember, the Roman Empire was destroyed by their immoral behavior. It fell from within. That's how it fell. Kind of reminds me of America today. Deteriorating from within. From the hearts of men. Our sinful nation is being revealed for really what it is. And in Rome, it was their immoral behavior. Their attitude of public lewdness. Their high-mindedness. And even their overall idleness. You know, Rome had well over 150 holidays that they celebrated each and every year so that people didn't have to work. They got paid, but they didn't have to work. Man, alive, that sounds like today's world, does it not? Every time you turn around, there's another holiday. The postman doesn't bring you another bill. And I thank God for that, okay? I do thank him for that. But you know what? They're taking everybody wants something for free today. Now, let me tell you something, folks. There are no free lunches. Somebody's got to pay the price. Somebody has to pay the bill. And I think here in verse number 42, God reveals to Daniel what's going to take place with those 10 toes or those 10 kings, those 10 kingdoms. They'll be ruling at the time when this stone, not cut with hands, will destroy this great image. And Christ will establish his kingdom. His kingdom that will never end. And it's the verse said here in verse 44, which shall never be destroyed. Christ is going to set up his kingdom. Honey, the best is yet to come. Amen? Amen. The best is yet to come. And even as these earthly kingdoms soon revealed their earthly weaknesses, the kingdom's earthly weaknesses, their fallacies, their sins, even so the Antichrist, which I believe is in existence today. The spirit of Antichrist is everywhere you go. And that spirit, the wicked kingdoms, all those are going to fall in their spiritual depravity. They're going to fall in their compromising weaknesses. And man, what a day that is going to be. What a day it's going to be. All those earthly kingdoms seen, revealed to Nebuchadnezzar through this dream, are in fact presented in this one image together. And it's all going to be destroyed by the one true God. Amen. Now, I want you to look now. We've seen the earthly kingdoms, but I want you to see this kingdom of heaven that Daniel now talks to them about. Verses 44 and 45. Here in these verses, the Bible said, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long? Forever." Amen. "For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." In other words, king, God has told you the facts. Now you got to make a decision. You know what? When folks are presented today with truth and with facts, they don't want to accept it. I've never seen a generation of people that do not want to hear truth as we live in today. Nobody wants to understand that, listen, this earth is just temporary. And we are living in a life right now that can either be lived for God or can be lived for the devil. You can't have both. Listen, when we were down south, we had a fence between my yard and my neighbor's yard. He had goats and horses. A neighbor up the road had a 600-pound hog. I mean, it was huge. And the year that we left and moved up here, he was supposed to be taking that thing and making bacon and ham and all that, sausage and all that, and we missed out. And but you know what? That thing was huge. I mean, I'd never seen such a hog so big. 600 pounds it weighed. But you know what? They had a fence up. And buddy, if you could, you should either be on one side of the fence or the other. Because I found out that sitting on the fence and you straddle the fence, only one thing happens. You get splinters. And brother, it is no good to get splinters straddling the fence. And you know what? You cannot straddle the fence of living for God and living for Satan. You can't straddle that fence without getting splinters. God will make sure you get some splinters in there. And then God help the person that's got to help you pull them out. And you know what? Listen to me today. The Lord here was showing this king, these are true facts that's going to happen. These are true events. And after he reveals all these things to the king, I can imagine that Daniel's heart was both amazed at what God had shown through him, but yet he was full of fear because he didn't know what the king was going to do. But the Bible said that the king rose up, and as he stood before his throne, he fell upon his face. And he revealed here in verse number 47, look at it, that the God of Daniel was indeed a God of gods, a Lord of kings, and revealer of secrets. Now, Nebuchadnezzar's earthly kingdom, that kingdom would last for quite a while, but it would fall. The next kingdom would come in, and it would fall. The next kingdom would come in, and it would fall. And for centuries upon centuries, these kingdoms would continue to go, but one day, God was going to establish his perfect kingdom. Let me ask you something today. What is time to God? 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years with him. In other words, time makes no difference. But God's timing is always right. It's always right. It is nothing to God. And that stone that was cut out without hands shall indeed one day break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Now, child of God, I want to just say this to you as we close this lesson. Don't let the things of this old world cast you down in the days of discouragement and days of depression and days of just not knowing which way to turn. But honey, as we see these things coming to pass, lift up your head and know that our redemption draweth nigh. We should be encouraged to see these things. Why? Because our God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And He's going to see us through. And He's going to make sure that He is the one that is shown to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our God does indeed reign. And one day, His eternal kingdom shall be established upon this earth. And every eye is going to see Him as He truly is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The world may think that they have us exactly where they want us. But honey, listen to me today. This old book, we've read the last chapters. We've read all through it. We know we're on the winning side. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus today. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And if there's anybody that's listening to this lesson through the internet, or you're here today in this class and you don't know Christ is your Savior, listen to me today. You need to forsake the things of this world, and you need to turn unto the one true and living God who gave Himself for you. He loves you today and wants you to be saved. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, I love You today. And God, I pray, Lord, You'll encourage our people today to keep their eyes focused on You, to keep their hearts in the book and let the book remain in their hearts. And Lord, I pray, God, today that You'll strengthen each one. Lord, if there be anyone listening to the sound of my voice today that's never been saved, please, God, help them to come to know You, see their need of a Savior, and be saved today. And God, we'll thank You for what You do. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach the Word of God. And we'll thank You for all You do. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. We love You today. Thank you for being in class. Good to see you.